Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood. Justin.
Hello, everyone, and happy Monday. Hope everyone's had a great weekend and off to a fast start this week.
Absolutely, absolutely. How have you been?
Sorry, I've got a bad connection here. Let me see if I can find a better reception. Can you hear me right here?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I got you 100%.
There we go.
Sounding good.
Yeah, it's been an interesting couple weeks here, and, first off, I'd like to say personally, I know we have a great guest on today. Just thoughts and prayers, I'm sure from myself and from you, go out to the Bryant family. And I don't know about you, but it's news that's hit, at least our family quite hard, being sports fanatics and what he meant to the sports world, even sports and beyond, really. He was a philanthropist as well. That news was quite shocking yesterday and quite devastating for many people. So I just wanted to state that, up front, before we get into the meat of today's show.
Yes, thoughts and prayers out to the Bryant family and all the other victims in the plane crash. I believe there was a baseball person or somebody from Houston. U of H or something was on that plane as well. So yeah, prayers go out to everybody affected and just a very sad, tragic moment, but I tell you, that is very sobering, but it also just kind of reignites, a belief in me that, you never know when it's your time, and I got to live every day, to the fullest, because you just don't know, So, and it's just, with he and his daughter and others. So it's a tragedy, but, what are we going to do with that? What can we do to, in our lives, we can become better people.
Exactly.
But also live each day to the fullest.
Yeah. It's one of those moments where we take, the loss, I feel like, and, I sense that a lot of people and a lot of, especially in the coaching world, right. He was, not only an athlete, but, he was what I would consider a player coach. Right. Michael Jordan had a little bit of that in him. You see that with LeBron James and many other athletes, they're player coaches, right? Where they played the game, but they also, especially in, the later years in his career, he was an active, coach or mentor to other young athletes. And then, obviously outside of the basketball court, within the world there. So, to your point, Bruce, you take this news, what it was a reminder of for me is like how precious life is. I mean, I don't think anyone would have ever expected Kobe Bryant, to die tragically at 41 or anyone like him, you know what I mean? So, sure. Life is precious. Take every moment and grab the bull by the horns and live it like, it's your last day, I guess. Right. Because you never know when it's your time, to your point.
This is our guest today, helps with, people and children, that have, maybe very complex medical conditions and unknown conditions and conditions that require very specialized care and research. And I think, those are two categories of people, that when either somebody like Kobe dies unexpectedly, or even when we hear of a child who's 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, you know, struggling to keep their life, you know, those two categories, it's just extra hard on us observers or other adults to see, you know, to either A, see that happening, and B, grieve that loss of someone who is taken or dies before their time, you know, or what we think their time should be. So we'll try to dovetail that in there. Definitely. So yeah. Well, you know, on that somber note.
Yeah. No. It's just somber note. We're gonna pump it back up. Don't worry.
Okay, pump it back up.
You know, it's we'll pump it back up. But I think it's worth you know noting. This is world news. So you know.
Yeah.
Bruce,
for sure.
Bruce and Justin, I got to bring the world news to you.
For sure.
Bruce, I know we have a great guest on for today. I can't wait to meet her. You know, let you take it away.
Okay, great. Yeah. So. We have Jessica Hatch with us today, and I've ran across her, you know, kind of through some Houston connections, and she's a friend of a friend of ours, you know, Blaine Janelle Ochoa is a close friend of ours here on the show, and fellow H-Town crew, so we have a little little affinity towards Houston folks. As one might expect, but not just because of the location, just because of also the very meaningful things that Jessica's doing. And I wanted to kind of share that. I know that this show, we have business coaches and personal coaches and mindset coaches and all different types of coaches. And we've had some self-improvement folks, but I did want to bring Jessica on today and talk about her endeavors and Hatching for Health and other things that are helping folks in the community there in Houston. So without further ado, welcome aboard, Jessica. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you guys so much for having me. I've been looking forward to it for since we spoke probably about a month ago. So I'm glad to be on with you guys.
Well, great. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, you know how the scheduling is, right? It's always interesting trying to get on somebody's show. So we're glad we finally were able to connect and get things squared away today. So tell us a little bit about your story, like even before Hatching for Health, and tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you in the area that you're in today.
Definitely. So yeah, with Hatching for Health, it's kind of been a fairly new endeavor, I guess, over the last 2 years. I would say I started kind of embarking upon having a show and a foundation tied to it. Just everything I've kind of been a part of in the last 10 years has all been healthcare related. Kind of started out in kind of the sales space of calling on various hospitals around the country and helping them with like their radiology needs. But then it progressively just, you know, became more of a space that I created an independence for myself and was able to be, you know, on my own and, you know, kind of make things happen individually with, you know, with great support around me, of course. But yeah, so I own an MRI facility in Houston, Texas, like kind of right in the heart of it near the Galleria area, where we do interventional pain management, MRIs, sleep studies. And we've tied that in with a med spa on our second floor, where we can, you know, service kind of the cosmetic desires of Houston as well. But yeah, those are kind of my brick and mortar. And, you know, we're actually have patients and clients, you know, coming in and on a regular basis. So, yeah.
How were you able to pair? That's a very interesting branding element. How do you pair MRI and med spa? How does that?
I know it's like story of my life. I get bored easily and I like to diversify, but at least kind of stay in my lane. You know, it's kind of one of the things I've been guided to do. It would probably be advice you'd give me, Bruce, but because right. I do tend to, like, you know, I will be working on this and then something else pops up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to be involved in that. But I do kind of try and keep it as streamlined as possible in the healthcare space. And if you really kind of look at it, the diagnostic imaging, you know, anybody that's going to have any kind of spine injection, shoulder knee, any of that, really an MRI prior to just so the doctor knows exactly where the needle's going. So those do go hand in hand. The space that I have, the way that it's built out, we kind of had like a second floor that, you know, I kind of need to make the best use of it. And it wasn't, it wasn't going to be to put large equipment like an MRI up there. So we went with the sleep study, right? Simple beds, you know, light equipment. And then we collectively like managed to bring in a med spa component. It has a very like aesthetic, you know, pleasing feel and look to it. It's not a typical feel of a medical practice. And so that was, I guess, kind of why that kind of came up. But, and I, you know, personally love to keep myself looking young and rejuvenated. So it's like, well, I can just have it right here in my office whenever I want it and then share the, these desirable procedures and stuff with friends, family, and the community.
Okay. So what kind of providers do you have? I would assume you'd have the kind of radiology technicians, but do you have estheticians? What kind of providers do you have in your business over there?
Yes. So I have an interventional pain management doctor. Actually, I have two that are there every week. I obviously have the radiologist, one that's a medical director that they're not on site because the way, you know, imaging has evolved, they actually read via, we call it like a PAC system, and it's sent through and it's teleradiology. So our scans are, you know, completed by the technician and then they're sent through and then they get to read them from the comfort of, you know, wherever they're working. And then we have our medical director who is an ENT plastic surgeon for the med spa. And of course, all of my referral sources are naturally, you know, whether they're chiropractors, the DC component, or the MRIs and stuff are also referred from MDs. So we, in-house, I mean, we have, you know, doctors kind of coming and going all the time, whether they're just kind of touring the facility or coming and signing off on charts under the medical directorship. So we, you know, we have a great team and people around us.
Great. What kind of procedures on the med spa side do y'all perform? What kind of different service lines do y'all have there?
Yes. So we have the, you know, the typical, what we call dermal fillers and neurotoxins. Dermal fillers is basically when people are, you know, doing a plump to the lip or filling in the cheeks or the nasolabial folds. Like those are all considered dermal fillers, just kind of filling in areas that have lost volume or want to just, you know, create volume in them. and then the neurotoxins include like Botox, and there's actually several lines of neurotoxins now, not just Botox, but there's Dysport. Another company called Jeuveau came out, but all of them, you know, basically work to kind of freeze the muscle to help find lines and wrinkles. So the two of those, and then we have a few different machines. We do a SculptPod machine, which allows for patients to come in for like a 15-minute time frame, and it's like an infrared light that they're inside of this kind of like shell, and it has a vibration technique, so it helps with skin tightening and cellulite reduction. We have an ozone therapy machine. It's like a 30-minute session, just helps with, you know, production of new collagen just due to the oxygen that it's giving you. You're just kind of sitting in there and breathing it all in for 30 minutes. And then we recently, we have a young lady coming on that does fibroblast, which is a really new kind of procedure / technology that is non-surgical, but yet can give you like similar to results to having like, you know, mini facelifts and stuff. It's pretty awesome. She just started with us. So we've got a lot of, I mean, anything kind of new and innovative we're, you know, we're obviously kind of grabbing a hold of and just making sure we have the right nurses or doctors to perform those procedures. But we want to kind of, you know, keep ourselves like on the tip of like whatever new technologies out there. Because it's a very competitive market, you know, so you've got to kind of stand out.
How have you marketed? How have you gotten your clients? What are some of the channels that you've utilized to build that practice?
Yeah, so it's very different from what I'm used to, because on, you know, more of the medical side, like imaging and pain management and all of that world is really driven from the doctor relationships I have, as well as attorneys. You know, we deal with the personal injury community as well when people are involved in accidents. So all of that it's been more of like, you know, me in front of them, whether it just be cold calling or events or introductions, you know, kind of just within the medical community. But the med school is completely different. It's not the same. I mean, it's, some of it is just someone asking, hey, where did you, you know, get something personally done, or, you know, and then it's like, well, I have a med school. Others are inviting my girlfriends in, kind of introducing them to a service on me to kind of see what all we do. And then obviously when they like a service, then they're going to promote it, you know, within the community. Social media is always, it is a good platform for, you know, things like med spas and plastic surgery and all that. Just kind of showing before and after results and, you know, what we're capable of doing. You've got to have great nurses because, you know, I think that's really important for them to just give, you know, really solid results so that, you know, people, they're talking and it's good, you know, you don't want any kind of bad, you know, things out there about experiences. So we really try and hire the best of the best in Houston to do all of our procedures.
Okay. Excellent. Now, y'all have just one location or do you have multiple locations?
So, yeah, so I have the one location, but I'm currently in the process of opening up a second location, same concept, the MRI facility and med spa, out in Beaumont, which is like 2 hours from where I'm at. I know, kind of an interesting space, but I had one of a close doctor friend of mine wanted to work with me out there. He has a Houston office, and his practice has kind of been built out in the Beaumont area. So we've talked for well over a year, and we're finally getting started on, you know, the build out for it. So completely different market out there, right?
Yeah, for real, man. The Golden Triangle, Beaumont, Orange, Port Arthur, all that. That's a fun area out there, to say the least. So you're gonna make Beaumont great again, or at least try. Awesome. At River Oaks and Beaumont. Like, oh my God. Okay. But anyway. Good stuff. Really, really interesting. Justin, did you have any of the kind of the business? I was fascinated to pair off an MRI and a med spa concept. I thought that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I love the comment on adjacent services. That's great. I guess just vision. I'd love to just hear about like the vision, you know, 5 years from now, you know, what's the vision for it all?
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So, you know, I've, like I mentioned, as far as, you know, kind of being in different areas of healthcare, like all the ones I just mentioned are obviously like stuff that are brick and mortar where, you know, I have staff that comes in on typical, you know, 8 to 5, 9 to 6 schedules or open weekends. But, you know, I work with a lot of hospitals and surgical centers, not just in Houston, but around the country. Part of that is, you know, to service adults on, you know, different surgical procedures, but then now I'm kind of gone into the pediatric side because of Hatching for Health. So I think kind of like overall vision, with the imaging center combined with the surgeries, I definitely want to probably open about 7 MRI facilities. They might not all have the med ball tied to them, but, with those, I definitely plan to sell off to like a private equity, which is a common thing to do. If you can get them up and running and successful, you're able to, you know, to have the right group come in and sell. And sometimes they keep your involvement. Other times you walk away and you kind of use that revenue to, you know, obviously help and do more. But that's on the imaging side. And then with, you know, the Hatching for Health, which I know we haven't really started talking about yet. I really plan to continue to grow that so that I'm, you know, not just filming locally in Houston with these families, but able to, you know, really go internationally and meet with children that, you know, have these rare diseases, life-threatening, where they're, you know, kind of at a point where they don't have the right resources, and we come in and truly help, you know, sometimes save their lives. So that's kind of where a lot of my passion lately has gone, you know, which is all, you know, completely on a, I guess, nonprofit, you know, side. So it's, you know, I've worked really hard and I will continue to do so. But for me, it's like now every bit of the growth I have, it's like now I'm able to actually create a way to give back, you know, in a really large way. So, you know, something that truly makes a difference, like in, you know, and I can see it happening in individuals' lives. You know, so every life counts. So it's kind of an exciting direction, I guess, I'm going when you talk about vision.
Well, tell us about
so that. if you were to distill that then to like a one statement, like mission statement, would it be to like save, I don't know, 1,000 lives or like, I'm just curious.
Yeah.
What
so
that distilled mission
when
is.
So the term like hatching for health, if you think about it, you know, anything like hatching, it's typically like an egg. So that concept is basically for, you know, children, right? They're trying to hatch into better health. And so for me, I've had children that have rare diseases and some are more common, like cystic fibrosis. And, you know, there's a lot of diseases out there, right? But it's the rare that get left behind. And so I think one by one, you know, however we can help, you know, basically improve their life, you know, whether it's the right doctors that they didn't have access to because of them being like from a certain country, or if it's just funding that needs to be raised because, you know, insurance companies aren't always on board with these, you know, new diseases. They don't have any kind of research to, you know, to say, oh yeah, we're going to cover this for you and that for you. So those are situations where we kind of have to step in and kind of help make that possible for them until they become more common and things are covered.
Okay. That's great. That's great. Sort of the rare and the, you know, undocumented or unsupported illnesses and diseases. That's fantastic work.
How did that come to be? Did hatching to health come? Was that something you were thinking about years and years ago, or is that something that you've kind of come into in the last couple of years? And kind of dovetail also your television aspirations and in the show and stuff like that.
Yeah, so Hatching for Health was like a good friend of mine. Was actually a photographer that I was working with years ago, and he, at the time, I was heavily involved in like the fitness community, and he kind of threw out there that name. He was like, maybe you should do like a series of workout videos called Hatching for Health. And I was like, because my last name being Hatch, and you know, I was like, that's cute, but I don't know. Like, I don't think I'm James Bond. I don't know. So I was like, yeah, maybe like put that to the side, but I like the name. And so I think I just kind of kept that in the back of my head. And then about 3 years ago, good friend of mine, just I guess kind of an entertainer, he's a friend of mine from Italy. And we were just talking back and forth about things I'm doing. And he was like, you know, you have such a, you know, huge involvement in healthcare. He's like, you know, maybe you should like tie it somehow with children and helping that direction. And when I told him the Hatching for Health name, that's actually why he kind of brought that full circle. He was like, that's a great name if you can. So I wrote a synopsis for the show and what it would look like. And that's kind of where I guess it started to come to fruition. So I wrote that and then I did a casting call, and it basically was like, you know, attention all families with children born with like, you know, diseases, disorders, disabilities. Like, if you're interested in telling your story to see how we can help raise kind of like a creative platform for you, then come on, you know, down to our office and interview, you know, audition. And so that's initiated like the families coming out. And then we filmed locally. I kind of hired a production crew and we filmed locally in my, you know, my actual office, kind of moved things out of a particular space and, you know, fix the sound and, you know, we have quite a few videos on YouTube of all of the kind of the startup of this process. And we got different families that were, you know, willing to sign waivers to kind of talk about everything, get real personal with us. And we combine that with a doctor that comes onto the show after we've kind of visited with the family. And we allow that doctor to be an expert opinion in whatever situation the child's undergoing. So that we can give them some, you know, real live advice, and whoever obviously is watching, you know, it could be helping them as well. So that, you know, all of that was kind of written in what I was planning to create, and it's, I guess, come to reality now, with MTV Houston, the show that I actually filmed my first episode tomorrow. And I'm going back through those families that I started with and having them back on, where we can create, you know, like a better production so that it has, you know, even better exposure. Kind of like with you guys, like all the growth that y'all have had at LA Talk Radio. I'm sure you started, you know, somewhere, and now you've got, you know, many more listeners than you maybe ever expected. Just getting, you know, the opportunity with this new station in TV, and they're going to kind of help, you know, spread the word of what we're doing, and hope for it to come like a national show soon. Cut me off at any time.
No, you're doing good. That's perfect.
Trying
so,
to kind of complete, you know, the A to Z, what's going on. You know, it's a lot of information.
it's why we needed the full 50 minutes. See, it's just to get all that out there. So you start shooting to tomorrow. I mean, do you guys already have a set window?
Yeah, they built a set out for me, and went and took a look at it. We went over the lighting last week, and everything's good to go. So we're going to film every Tuesday, and then it'll air every Saturday, Sunday, actually two times. So it'll get quite a bit of exposure, and I mean, they might even air it more because it's a 24-hour station. And it's all like, it's on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon, Facebook Live. It's kind of every, I guess, popular streaming network. We'll be able to view it, you know, live, as well as the, you know, actual cut and edited episode.
Okay. Excellent. Is it like on a 15-week run, or do you know that?
We're doing 12 episodes for like the first season, and then, you know, I will love to keep doing it, but at that point, I'm pretty confident that I'm going to kind of grow to a larger station, or at least be traveling and meeting families, like, you know, within maybe the comfort of their own home or internationally. One story right now, which has kind of been really exciting, and helping this little girl, her name is Esther Batillo, and she is from the Philippines. And I got a phone call Thanksgiving week, and the gentleman had met me at a medical conference at Lakewood Church. And so he was reaching out, and he was like, "Hey, do you still have your Hatching for Health, you know, show going on? I might have a story and like a really unique opportunity to help this young lady," or she's 10 years old, this little girl. And so I was like, "Yeah, tell me more." And so it turns out she has like a congenital heart disease called the mouthful, but it's tetralogy of Fallot. It's extremely serious. Most children have the surgery within their first year of life. Didn't happen for her. She's now 10. Thank God she's still living, but she is very, very high risk of dying. And so I've connected her with a doctor in Houston, Dr. Salazar, who works at Children's Memorial Hermann. And like literally as of today, I should get the final word on if they're going to green light doing the procedure, because it's been, you know, just, it's a very critical situation, her traveling here and then, you know, where her condition is currently at. So they've had to do a lot of, like, they call them echocardiograms, to kind of test her heart, like almost every week. And we've needed it to be at a certain level to feel confident in her travel and all of that. But the bottom line is, if like this happens, like it literally is a life-saving surgery. So just talking about kind of the beginning of the show with, you know, obviously people losing their life, like out of anyone's control, but, you know, situations where, you know, you've got children that we actually have an opportunity to save their lives. It's like, if we can put the right resources in place, like, you know, anything's possible. And so, you know, that's kind of the opportunity where I'm like, holy shit, you know, if I can actually do that. And I would love to get those phone calls on a daily basis to put the right resources together to actually like do something like that, you know? So for me, what might have seemed like a burden to get that phone call, I see it as a blessing, because I know I can connect the right people and make it happen. It's just kind of where my skill set is and everything else I do, you know, finding the right doctors and then calling on, you know, the CEO, the CFO, whoever of that hospital that can help make it happen, even if it needs to be partly a charitable case where they're willing to take a steep discount, like just pushing and pushing and talking to the right people. It's like nothing I'm afraid of. So I'm definitely a great advocate for these children when they come to me. And I think the more awareness that Hatching for Health gains, the more people are going to be involved. And and kind of helping and getting their own exposure just for what they're doing. You know, they don't always highlight it, but allow me to do so, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. So, man, what a great endeavor and what a, you know, much needed, you know, concept to bring forth, you know, the underserved, you know, particularly a child with a very unique disease or very complicated, you know, condition. And I really think that that's something that people are going to tune in and watch, you know. I think, you know, just for
education
purposes.
Yeah, it's like I want it to be inspiring, exciting, and, you know, I mean, a lot of these children, like, you'd never know, like, looking at them, that anything's wrong. And that's, you know, I mean, I want it to be lighthearted to an extent, you know. And I think that's part of where we're working on, you know, just the direction of the show. I mean, it's all serious matters, but I think the more that we can, you know, kind of just create the right energy around it on what we're doing and how we're helping, and, you know, kind of just put smiles on these children's face and make it exciting. I mean, one of the other layers of the show that I like to kind of add is knowing that, I don't know, for whatever, if a child, for example, is just a huge sports fanatic and they want to, you know, meet somebody, I mean, get to a point where the show has enough, you know, backing to bring on, you know, whoever it might be, like in Houston, like JJ Watt, for someone to meet, or if it's a little girl, like I actually did an episode with Blaine where we had her come on and meet like four of the little girls that we've, you know, that we've had on the show, and just come on, ask her a question. You know, so allow for something that I'm giving them aside from like it being all about, you know, let's fix you, which obviously is the most important reason. But I think if we can kind of add something that just kind of, you know, creates a little bit different dynamic, it'll be a direction I want to add, you know, to the show once it's, you know, gets going a little bit.
Yeah, I think like you said, it'll get going and get the Chronicle to do a feature piece on it, and, you know, other types of social media. Now, does Hatching for Health, does it have its own Instagram and website and its own kind of media?
It does. Yeah, it's all, since it's a, you know, since it is like a 501c nonprofit, so it's all .org. So it's hatchingforhealth.org. And on Instagram, it's Hatching for Health. And that's like FOR, you know, in the middle there, not a number four.
Right.
Same with Facebook. So it's all exactly how it's spelled on all social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and then the website. Right now we do have the little girl. We have her GoFundMe page, and it tells her specific story and exactly cost and the doctor and the facility involved. So that's kind of being highlighted right now, you know, on specific needs that the foundation's created to raise money for her. But yeah, it's, all of those can be followed. And, you know, anyone that has families or knows of loved ones or friends that have a child with any kind of condition, I'd love to hear from them, you know, and see how we can, you know, get them on the show and talk to them and kind of tell their story. And they don't just have to be local to Houston. We can work with, you know, travel arrangements to get them out.
Wow. Fantastic. And that's good to know. It's good for our listeners to know as well. I'm sure we have listeners all over the country that may know of a child that has very complex medical disorder that needs, you know, that may need some specialized assistance. This is good to know. Good to hear that. It just doesn't have to be in Houston or Texas or whatever.
Yeah, I might could use some of your you guys' skills on your coaching and direction for things, you know.
Yeah, because you do want to, right, Justin, with some sort of a scalable, getting the word out, but using,
yeah,
you know, scale it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, scaling is key if you want it to, you know, grow in an annuity type form, you know, and even potentially have that exponential, I call it, hockey stick curve to it.
There you go.
But, you know, you'll get there. You'll get there when you know you're ready for it, but you have to, you can't scale it yourself. That's the key. And
yeah.
I think it sounds like you're doing a lot as far as putting your, you know, your connections out there in new markets and other markets that can help share the word on for you. That's a lot of the battle, but also where you have the programs set up, you know, for it to be meaningful for them. So it's also top of mind for them, you know, year in and year out. That's the other part of it.
Correct. Yeah, because there's, you know, so much out there, you know, that's obviously, I don't want to use the word competing necessarily, but it really is. I mean, everybody has their different passions, you know, and some more than others. So it's kind of letting it be, you know, front of mind and you know, continuing to create the different stories and helping in different ways. So it doesn't, you know, kind of have like that dry time where it's like, I haven't heard anything about, you know, what they're doing. But I think with the new set with MTV Houston, I think it's a good, you know, opportunity just because of the quality of what they can produce versus what, you know, like you said, it's for me to scale it. It's like, you know, I can't do it all on my own. It's like about meeting the right people and having the right team to kind of keep taking it to the next level. But the better the quality of the content, you know, the more it's going to get looked at in a different, you know, a different light.
And I'm sure you guys are, you know, you standardize on platforms for managing those relationships, you know, your clients, the partner ecosystems and all that too, right? Like all the foundational stuff.
Say that again. What was the question?
Like your CRM system and some of the basic, like I call it blocking and tackling or basic foundational business stuff to manage that as you start to scale the business piece out.
Yeah. So all of that I have on the other side, right? Like on the imaging and surgery, you know, we've used Zoho and Setmore and different, like you said, CRM programs. I haven't really implemented anything on the foundation side, but that might be, I guess, something I definitely should do, you know, just kind of collectively to keep all of those contacts in one place, you know, as we need them. Right now, they're just at my fingertips of my phone. It's like, but yeah, those are great systems to use. There's one called Close.
Which is still
Close.
I haven't. But yeah, to your point, by the way, I having
Fablet is wonderful.
Is still always.
Is this a Fablet?
Well, I was actually no. I was actually thinking of some other thing. I was just actually thinking of some other things. No, not plugging for anything, Bruce, but thank you.
No, dude, it's a fair country, man. You know, we're about.
No, I was actually thinking more, you know, just there's lots of platforms, and Zoho, by the way, would have this too, but having them at your fingertips is always, and will always be the best place for them. I mean, because when you have that direct contact with people, that's when they're the most responsive. I'm just thinking about in between those times, and let's be honest, we're people, we get busy with our lives too. And it's like, oh shit, I haven't talked to this person in a couple months. Well, that's where the systems come into play. If you have, you know, at least email messaging or text messaging, automated text messaging, or you have people on your team that are dedicated to making those calls, you know, a couple of times a month, that really will help with that.
For sure. No, it's a great point. And even right now, it's getting, I'm just kind of acclimating myself in Houston with organizations that I guess commonly support, you know, charitable organizations, because some have a focus in that and they delegate a certain amount of funds every, you know, really every year to donate to sometimes it's the same charitable, you know, causes, and others, they look for someone new. And so if they don't know of me, then I'm going to have an opportunity, right? So it's putting myself out there and making them aware of what we're doing and, you know, and how they can actually help. So I actually wrote like a few letters and, you know, kind of meld them out to these people, because, you know, some people just operate in different capacities, right? Not everyone's like, you know, going to take a live meeting or, you know, get an email. So some of them I called and they're like, you have to actually write like a letter, and, you know, and they'll review it. And then if they want to support, they're going to have you come in. I'm like, okay. So, but, you know, just, I did a little bit of research on what organizations, you know, are I guess, actively looking for charities to support. So yeah, things like that. I mean, for me, all of my, you know, career has been very service oriented. So everything that I do, I provide a service and I get paid for it. The Mez Ball created, like, you know, a product line, right? They're coming in actually getting, you know, different products put in. But it's hard to actually say, hey, you know, support this, and you're not getting anything back for it. So people have to truly, you know, have a heartstring pulled and feel passionate about it. They're not just going to, you know, I mean, there's so many people out there with need. So it has to be kind of a why, and have that story. And that's partly, obviously, like, the show originally was, you know, just to create awareness. But then I started thinking about it, and was like, I need to have the Hatching for Health Foundation and have it be a 501c, so people can, if they do want to support, they can completely write that off, and it's tax deductible like anything else that they want to help. So that's kind of where that came in. And I just opened that September of last year, you know, to kind of create that, you know, that synergy between the two.
Yeah, I mean, I really think you're going to need to, not trying to give you advice or anything, and Justin be a better person to do that, but I think that you know, you're going to have this TV show, and then you said, hey, I want to look at other networks or possibly bigger platforms. And it just takes one story, man. It just takes one story to pull the strings of millions of people. Let me give you an example real quick. NBC serendipitously aired a spot on the Today Show that they thought was going to be just nothing, you know, where they send out a reporter to West Virginia where the opiate epidemic, and this one family had foster kid, you know, like three or four different foster kids, right? And the mom was always cooking the meals, and the dad was working in the coal mines, and the roof was leaking, and, you know, and these kids were so appealing, you know what I mean? The kids kind of gave some testimony, and man, I mean, even everybody in NBC freaked out. Millions of people started tweeting, how can we help? How can we help?
Wow.
What can we do? And that's where they needed that CRM and some automation, right? To get in the hundreds of thousands of requests and touch points, right? Of these people, say, here, you can do this. And then with the email back end, right? To email and, you know, mass email to all these responders. So, so don't think that might not happen at some scale with one of your shows or the 501c3, you know, and then all of a sudden you'll have, you know, 200,000 touch points versus whatever 80 or 90 or whatever, you know what I mean? Like that 501c3 probably has legs worldwide more so than Beaumont and Houston. I mean, so like you said, they're two different animals, but you may want to think twice about getting ready. I myself made a huge error with some of my web, my web things, and I had just kind of let them coast. And you know, I'm kind of a solo provider, and I'm just kind of this whatever, you know, one man gone good type of thing until I, you know, some viruses hit some servers and and I was like, you know what I mean? So I had to really retool and completely retool my internet foundation underpinning. Thank God I did. And it's going to be fine. It's wonderful. And I'm back to normal on SEO. But that Japanese virus killed me.
Yeah,
but what happened was, I was operating as if I was, you know, way, and now I'm not that I'm all that, but I am a little bit further down the road in my trajectory, in my career, and my service lines to not have that. And I probably do need a CRM, and I probably need some stuff that Justin does routinely with quote, quote, real, you know, not real businesses, but you know what I mean? Really flourishing businesses. So I really think both your 501c3 are going to flourish. Your business is going to flourish. You yourself have an awesome presence. You're kind of at an influencer level-ish, you know what I mean, on social media. Just kind of, I didn't break down your LinkedIn, but your Instagram, you're really on the cusp of really getting some good metrics and good following
just because, if you know what I mean, you know?
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. For sure. You'll have to share the link of that episode that was on, I don't know if you said NBC or CNN, because I'd love to see that, you know, just to kind of see how that story, I'm sure it would touch me if it touched that many other people. But with the little girl Esther, kind of going back to
exactly
that, like what we want to do with her, just because she's coming from another country, I might not even get to have her, you know, sit on my show, because when she flies in, it's going to be about doing her, you know, kind of pre-op appointments and then going right into a surgery, and then, you know, she's going to be in you know, recovery mode. But with her, we wanted to do a bit of like a documentary and call it A Heart Like Esther's, which I think is a beautiful name.
Yeah,
you know, just
perfect.
Kind of especially healing her. Yep. And I have a gentleman out of LA who, I mean, he does amazing, you know, videography work. And I've kind of talked to him about doing this, you know, under a charitable space. So, because I'm like, I can't afford, but I don't want to necessarily put the funds in to film something like that where they could be, you know, I guess done, used differently right now. But I said, but if you want to work with me on this, he's like, yeah, if it's for what, you know, you're going after, like, definitely. So, you know, when she flies in, I want to basically kind of just, because she's going to be coming in solo with kind of what they call like a sponsor gentleman, not their actual parents, but he'll be here with her, and just kind of the whole, you know, presence of her arriving and like what she's feeling, and because she is 10 years old, so she can communicate with us and kind of just talk, be able to talk to her, versus, you know, some of the children I help are too young to really, you know, tell us how they're feeling. But the whole story from her surgery to the recovery time and just kind of getting her back to the Philippines. Well, so yeah, I'll keep y'all posted on that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, definitely keep us abreast on that. And, you know, looks like we're all connected pretty well between Facebook and Instagram and having your phone number and everything. So yeah, please, you know, keep myself and Justin abreast of that. Well, we got to wrap it on up here. We're with inside 2.5 minutes. Boy, I tell you, time flies when you're having fun.
I know.
And you're just such a great guest with some very meaningful things that you're doing, and also some really good entrepreneurial things with your business ventures as well. So if you could,
yeah,
tell our listeners how they can reach both your nonprofit as well as your businesses.
Definitely. So I do have, you know, the few different Instagrams for each business. So obviously mine is Jessica Dawn Hatch, and it'll probably prompt you to, you know, follow the other ones, but Hatching for Health is the one on Instagram, and anybody can also visit hatchingforhealth.org and kind of look at Esther's particular story and donate if they have, you know, any desire to do so. And then the imaging center is Infinity Diagnostic Center, and the med spa is Infinity Med Spa. So really direct on what they are. And I'd love to hear from anybody with any questions or anything I can do to help. And I'd love to get back on with you guys once things kind of progress a little more and, you know, just kind of keep our conversations open and have a side conversation with y'all too about some of your advice. So definitely.
Yeah.
Happy to do that.
Yeah, great. Definitely.
Well, thank y'all.
And yes, I'll be down there for Pin Oak or whatever. So if you're around there in late February, March or whatever, maybe we'll get a chance to see you down there. So, well, good. Thanks for coming on the show. And you've just been a wonderful guest, and yeah, let's keep things open. Maybe get you on here in a few months with some updates and go from there. Well, folks,
awesome.
There it is.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. It was another great show today. Remember to see us on social media at The Concierge Coaches on Instagram, as well as LinkedIn, and also The Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook. I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Justin, how can folks reach you?
Nimmergood.com. Thank you, everyone.
All right. So another good one. Everybody, we'll see you here next week on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Until then, have a blessed week, and we'll see y'all next week. Bye-bye now.
You've You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.